This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. Intelligent Medicine is all about natural therapies. It's about ways to stay healthy. It's about high-tech medical developments. We put those all together for you each weekend, and we call it Intelligent Medicine. And you can call us. You can participate. 877-726-8255 is our number. And you can also record calls. You can go to drhoffman.com. And on our website, if you're on a PC or Mac, it's not yet mobile enabled, you can, on the homepage, click on little rectangular box that appears on the right side of the page, and you can record a question. We'll take some of those questions throughout today's program as well. All right, some of the topics we're going to take on today, we're going to look at glucosamine supplementation, and there's a new benefit to glucosamine, which is so often touted for joint prevention. That's one of the subjects that we'll tackle today. Also, broccoli sprout extract for schizophrenia. How about that? All right, before we get to that, though, let's talk about one of the big studies that came out recently that has to do with coffee consumption and heart protection. You know, coffee is one of those things that's a little bit like eggs when it comes to whether or not you should consume eggs. Well, we've been back and forth on that. Eggs are good. Eggs are bad. Eggs are okay. And now it suggests that, once again, eggs may be bad for you. We've gone over that story ad nauseum. Personally, I think that eggs pose very, very little risk, but I think you really have to individualize it. There are new tools called nutrigenomic tools that via testing can provide some perspective on whether people should be on a high saturated fat diet, or whether for various genetic reasons they've got certain genetic vulnerabilities. High fat diets may not be good, and so there may be a limit to egg consumption for some people. Other people do great with eggs. They metabolize eggs very, very efficiently, and even when consuming super high amounts of eggs, they don't even have high cholesterol. When it comes to coffee, there have been concerns about coffee, that coffee may set the heart a pitter-pattering, that it may cause atrial fibrillation. Actually, a recent study suggests that coffee consumption was protective against atrial fibrillation. Why is that? Well, atrial fibrillation may be, to some extent, an inflammatory disorder. So instead of coffee making your heart rate go up because of too much caffeine, causing a heart arrhythmia, it may be that coffee has anti-inflammatory properties that protect the heart and protect the electrical system of the heart from damage, damage which can then translate to atrial fibrillation. Big study. This study sought to determine what is the right amount of coffee for everyone. And I have a problem with that premise, because I think it's really different strokes for different folks. But they actually took into account genetic variability. There's a gene called CYP1A2. That's a gene that we can test for. I'm going to really get into nutrigenomic testing in my practice this year and going forward, because we can kind of individualize. We can actually predict this, because some people say, I have a cup of coffee for dinner, and then I can't sleep all night. So I'm one of those individuals. if you bring me some decaf, I'm going to triple check to make sure that I'm really getting decaf and not regular coffee, because I'm going to have a lousy night's sleep if I even have one cup of regular coffee later in the day. So this gene enables some people to metabolize coffee very rapidly, so that the coffee kind of washes out of their system and they can consume massive amounts of coffee. They can have 2-3 cups of coffee at dessert. They can have coffee as a nightcap. They can sleep soundly through the night. Other people have a variant of the gene that makes them caffeine susceptible. It's a gene that actually is tested for on 23andMe. So they used genetic testing to determine which of 347,000 individuals had this gene. And then they tried to correlate it to their coffee consumption and whether or not they were protected from cardiovascular disease. And what they found was that the risk of cardiovascular disease was elevated for non-drinkers. Yeah, coffee had a protective effect. But when people consumed decaf, they got a little bit of a protective effect, but not as much as when they consumed coffee. But it turns out that the limit for coffee consumption where the benefits accrued was 6 cups per day. And so the big surprise here is it really didn't matter whether you had the gene or not. So the people who processed coffee very efficiently, they didn't do better once they exceeded the 6-cup threshold. And similarly, the people with the gene that made them very sensitive to coffee, it doesn't seem to matter whether they had the gene. So they say, in order to maintain a healthy heart and healthy blood pressure, people must limit their coffees to fewer than 6 cups a day. Based on our data, 6 was the tipping point where caffeine started to negatively affect cardiovascular risk. I looked at this study more carefully, and they said that people who consume more than 6 cups of coffee per day, they had a 22% increased risk of cardiovascular disease. And, when you look at 347,000 people, and yeah, on average, there was a 22% increased risk. But really, when it came down to it, that was the relative risk. There's a statistical manipulation where you can use relative risk to demonstrate a very big effect. When it came to absolute risk, the absolute risk wasn't very big. It was maybe a few percentage points. So I don't think this, I think the study's being overinterpreted to tell people that there's a right amount of coffee to consume. Yeah, have, 2 to 4, don't exceed 6. That's going to be good for everyone. Even though they did that genetic analysis to make it seem like they were individualizing their recommendation, it turns out it didn't matter. I think this study really is not the last word on how much coffee every single person should consume. It's an example of overgeneralization based on one big survey. So there you have it. That's my opinion of the coffee study. And in my opinion, you don't have to curtail your coffee intake. All right. You can call us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Program is Intelligent Medicine, and we got lots more in store for you. So stay with us.
Dance floor is open. Come on, everyone. Let's shake it.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today. Available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's that time of year again when everyone suffers from some kind of upper respiratory problem. We miss work and feel miserable spending too much time with doctors and pharmacists. That is, unless we protect ourselves and our families with a product that I recommend to my patients. Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Rinse. Clear combines unique properties of xylitol and the health-promoting benefits of a saline nasal spray to help cleanse, moisturize, and soothe your sinuses and nasal passages. Clear helps wash away bacteria, pollens, and other irritants before they have a chance to attack the sensitive tissues in your upper respiratory tract. Clear is easy to use, effective, and safe for people of all ages. Clear is simply your best defense in an increasingly dirty and polluted world. I use it myself. You can find Clear Saline Nasal Spray and Sinus Wash at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, CVS, Rite Aid, and other drugstores, supermarkets, and pharmacies near you, as well as Amazon. Or you can visit Clear on the web at clear.com. That's www.xlear.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and our number is 877-726-8255. And we got another way by which people can reach us. They can record a question, go to our website at drhoffman.com, and on the homepage, a little box will prompt you to record a question. As did Annette, let's hear from Annette.
I've read on several different sites about vitamin C after skin cancer surgery. Some say it's good, some say it's bad. I'm imagining it's good, just they did not want you to have it before the surgery, which I thought was strange. However, I did stop it for 2 days, and I'm now 2 days after surgery, and I want to recommence. Thank you.
Okay, that's turns out to be a great question, Annette, and I did a little research on this. Topical vitamin C, there's a lot that suggests that topical vitamin C may help to protect against photoaging, and even may help to prevent some cancers from arising, because vitamin C is a water-soluble antioxidant. It can penetrate the skin surface, and so efforts have been undertaken to create various anti-aging, skin-protective vitamin C formulations that can be applied to the skin. It sounds like you're taking this formula. Studies have actually shown that there are protective effects, that they may protect the cross-linking of collagen, that there may even be some implications for skin cancer. So the question is, you know, if you have an open wound, should you apply vitamin C directly to the open wound? Well, we know that vitamin C taken orally is important for wound healing. When we talk about, you know, people undergoing surgery, we want to make sure they have adequate vitamin C. That's going to help them heal. If you have an open wound, should you apply a very highly acidic, concentrated form of vitamin C to the open wound? Could it maybe damage the already injured skin? And the answer is probably yes. I would be a little cautious and wait till there's some skin healing before applying a not very caustic or acidic topical form of vitamin C to your skin area that's healing. I think it probably couldn't hurt. And one of the ways you can determine if there's a problem is if it irritates your skin or if it causes pain, you know, gives a burning sensation, then probably that's a sign that you're too early in the healing cycle to apply the vitamin C. But plenty of vitamin C orally, I think, should be very helpful and beneficial for you. So, you know, that's the way I would play it. Thanks for that question. And I promised to talk to you about something interesting here. which has to do with a unique application of glucosamine supplements. Now, glucosamine is used for joint protection. It's been around for, since the 1990s. Everybody who wants to prevent arthritis wants to keep the synovial membranes of their joints healthy, protect the cushioning so that you don't have bone on bone. We're all taking glucosamine supplements. And there's been some controversy over this because some of the studies have shown, glucosamine isn't that helpful. Others have studies have shown that it is helpful. I'm placing my bets on glucosamine. I've been taking it at high doses for years. And I'm happy to say that my knees, my ankles, my shoulders, my joints are doing really well. My hips are fine. Maybe I'm just lucky. Maybe it's attributable to all the supplements I'm taking. But here's a very interesting article in a very important medical journal. It's the BMJ, the British Medical Journal. And so what they say here is that glucosamine supplements may be linked to lower risk of cardiovascular disease. I'll take that in a heartbeat. Regular use of glucosamine supplements, they say, may be related to a lower risk of cardiovascular disease, suggests an analysis of data from the UK Biobank study published in the British Medical Journal. The findings suggest that glucosamine may have benefits in preventing cardiovascular events such as coronary heart disease and stroke, and further clinical trials are needed to test this theory, say the researchers. Okay, preliminary results. They used death certificates and hospital records, and then they found out who was taking glucosamine. 1 in 5 participants reported glucosamine use at the start of the study. They found that glucosamine use was associated with a 15% lower risk of total cardiovascular disease events and a 9 to 22% lower risk of coronary heart disease, stroke, and cardiovascular death compared with no use of glucosamine. There was even a stronger association of protection in current smokers, 37% lower risk. So you should stop smoking, but if you smoke, taking glucosamine has dramatic protective effects. Never smokers, the protective effect was less robust, just 12%. Former smokers, a little more, 18%. So what's going on with that? Why should there be a protective effect? Well, it turns out that glucosamine may protect the delicate linings of the arteries. It may lower C-reactive protein. Very, very interesting study suggesting that there may be ancillary benefits to that glucosamine you're taking for your joints. It may protect your heart. Here's a little item that probably we should have done on Mother's Day, because it's the popular belief that having kids ages you. Ask any mom of 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 kids that having a lot of kids running around, a lot of stress, it's something that accelerates your aging process. Well, au contraire, according to researchers who went to Guatemala, who looked at the number of children born to 75 women, and then they measured their telomere lengths. Telomeres are something which predicts aging. And it turns out the more kids they had, the longer their telomeres were. Suggestion is that having more kids can extend your telomeres and thus increase your longevity. So moms of lots of kids, don't worry about it. They may extend your life. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. A worldwide leader in probiotics for over 30 years, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is a superior formulation that enhances immunity and digestion to help reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is a fermentation of 12 strains of live probiotic bacteria with wholesome super fruits and vegetables vegetables producing Dr. O'Hara's trademarked postbiotic metabolites, so restorative to gut health. Stay healthy while traveling, and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at fine natural health retailers nationwide, also available online. Discover the Dr. O'Hara's difference.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Lots to talk about today as we proceed with Intelligent Medicine. Okay, this item is quite fascinating because we know that sulforaphane is a cancer protective nutrient. It's something that you get from broccoli and cruciferous vegetables. It seems to work in a variety of ways to reduce inflammation, possibly to stabilize DNA. It is a kind of a Swiss Army knife nutrient that I really highly recommend that you take because it's got such a wide variety of actions. And in a recent study, it was shown that sulforaphane helped autistic children. And this study is legit. I mean, it was a small study, but it was done at a prestigious research. It had a beneficial effect on the brain of children with autism. So here's a really cool study. Actually, a series of studies from, well, around Johns Hopkins Medical School. And Johns Hopkins is interesting because they've really pioneered sulforaphane research. They had a guy named Paul Talalay, who I interviewed back in the 1990s, way back when he was first innovating. He's the guy who developed broccoli sprout extracts, which a lot of cancer survivors take, and particularly rich broccoli sprouts are even richer than broccoli itself in sulforaphane. And it's actually best to have your broccoli sprouts raw because cooking tends to reduce the amount of sulforaphane that you get from your cruciferous vegetables. So you can eat tons and tons of broccoli. That's fine. You're going to get some benefits. But if you really want the sulforaphane, you got to have broccoli sprouts. They're called brocco sprouts or get sulforaphane extract. So in this study, they first looked at animals, and they have animal models for schizophrenia. So before they start experimenting on people with schizophrenia, they said, well, let's check this out in animals. What they found is that, and I'm quoting here, it's possible that future studies could show sulforaphane to be a safe supplement to give people at risk of developing schizophrenia as a way to prevent, delay, or blunt the onset of symptoms. Okay, what happens is typically in adolescence, there are warning signs of schizophrenia. It seems to have its onset in humans in adolescence. And you may get visions, you may get different types of intrusive thoughts, hallucinations, and that can then stay quiet for a while, but then sometimes you just flip into overt schizophrenia, lose complete contact with reality. In a study that was performed in a journal called JAMA Psychiatry, Journal of the American Medical Association Journal, the researchers looked for differences in brain metabolism between people with schizophrenia and healthy controls. And what they found is that it has to do with glutamate and glutathione. Okay, glutamate is a neurotransmitter. The researchers found lower levels of the chemical glutamate in the brains of people with psychosis compared to healthy people. And glutamate, in addition to being a neurotransmitter, is also something that is associated with glutathione. And additionally, the researchers found that there was a reduced amount of glutathione in the brains of the patients with schizophrenia. So they discovered that by giving sulforaphane to these experimental animals, they could increase the amount of glutamate and glutathione in the brains of the animals. So then they said, okay, cool, that seems to work in animals. Let's see what happens when we give these pills to people. They say, we're thinking of glutathione as a glutamate stored in a gas tank. If you have a bigger gas tank, you have more leeway in how far you can drive. But as soon as you take the gas out of the tank, it's burned up quickly. And we could think of those with schizophrenia as having a smaller gas tank. So based on that principle, they gave sulforaphane capsules to patients with schizophrenia. And what they found was that after just 7 days of taking a couple of capsules a day of sulforaphane, there was about a 30% increase in the average glutathione levels in the subject's brains. So, whoa. Yeah, I mean, they didn't say necessarily that they were curing the schizophrenia in these people. That's research to come. But this nutrient, which is known as a chemoprotective nutrient, a cancer preventive nutrient, may have major utility for patients with neurodegenerative diseases. We're talking, you know, the gamut. We're talking Parkinson's. We're talking Alzheimer's and possibly depression, because there's an inflammatory component to depression. And here we have schizophrenia, very promising. From a prestigious research institute, Johns Hopkins Medical School. Very cool. All right. Osteoporosis, what's that about? You know, I do a lot of work with patients with osteoporosis. And so it's not just about taking adequate calcium or even taking adequate vitamin D or even taking adequate magnesium and all the cofactors necessary for building bone. There is an inflammatory aspect to osteoporosis, and so we want to quench the inflammation. So things like fish oil and olive leaf extract, these have benefits in osteoporosis. But did you know, this is brand new, that there is a link between mitochondrial damage and osteoporosis? And what the hint was, that smokers have a lot of osteoporosis. And it may be because smoking is highly inflammatory. It damages and poisons the mitochondria, the energy-producing parts of the cell. And so what they discovered is by looking at mitochondrial damage in experimental animals in a mouse model, the animals with a mutation that leads to dysfunctional mitochondria had increased production of osteoclasts. Osteoclasts are the things that break down bone. Osteoblasts build up bone. So if you have too many osteoclasts, you're going to break down your bone. The linkage suggests that we ought to pay attention to the mitochondria, support the mitochondria as part of our comprehensive strategy to prevent osteoporosis. And this is a great segue for me to talk about something which really helps the mitochondria. That's the basis of its action, because if you're suffering from fatigue or some sort of degenerative condition, well, here's the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or simply being run down. It's NT-Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics, and it's been borne out by studies that NT-Factor can reduce fatigue by almost half, and that also may have implications for the aging process itself. It's available in ProPacks. That's a one-stop shop for all your vitamin and mineral needs, but if you want concentrated NT-Factor, you can get it. There's a product called Healthy Aging. It's a perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking. It provides you with a unique energy support of pure NT-Factor in a potent delivery system. Now, folks, I've been taking NT-Factor for years. I don't go a day without it. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So find ProPacks or Healthy Aging at your favorite health food store. Or to order direct, you can call this number, 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158. Or just go to the website, go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. All right. This item suggests that, there's this gene called ApoE4. ApoE4 is a very interesting gene because if you have one copy of this gene, I'm really getting into genetic analysis these days and starting to do it for more and more patients. And it helps us determine if people are at risk for Alzheimer's disease. Now, you may say, I don't want to know because there's nothing you can do about it. No. there's a lot you can do about it. And if you're at risk, you really need to get on the stick to prevent your risk. There's this gene called APOE4. If you have a single hit, you have several times higher risk for Alzheimer's disease. If you have a double hit, well, woe unto you. That's about 1% of the population. You have a much higher risk, but you really need to protect yourself. It turns out that APOE4 does more than just determine whether you have Alzheimer's risk. It has to do with the body's ability to detoxify. And according to researchers, you can test people for APOE4. They say here, the children who carry the APOE4 gene who are exposed to air pollution have higher behavior problem scores, and their attention capacity was slower to develop. This is decades before they might be at risk for Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, this really increases our awareness of the importance of keeping our environment clean, but also genetic testing can help reveal those people who need to take special precautions. And believe me, there are many nutrients, supplements that can take the edge off APOE4. We've had Dr. Dale Bredesen on this program. If you want, you can check out the Bredesen protocol. That's for individuals who are at high risk of cognitive decline. It's best to address risk factors for cognitive decline before it develops, because if, even with APOE4, you usually don't have cognitive decline. It's rare if you have it before you're 50 or 55. You can hit it off through lifestyle, through exercise, through proper diet, and the use of certain supplements. We'll be talking more and more about cognitive prevention, genetic testing that helps spot risk, but also ways that you can address it. Don't be fatalistic about your risk for Alzheimer's disease. You really need to know if you're at risk, and you can take measures to prevent it. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination, easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and we're going to take a call, one of our recorded calls. You can go to drhoffman.com. And on the homepage, if you're on a PC or Mac, it's not yet mobile-enabled, so don't bother with your iPad or with your phone. You can click on a little box, and you can record a question, as did Gary. Let's hear from Gary.
I have AFib, and I'm being treated with medication and ablation at the end of the month. I'm wondering if alternative medicine has different or better ideas.
Okay. Well, Gary, there may be a need for you to have medical treatment for atrial fibrillation. If you've got atrial fibrillation, the biggest risk, of course, is that you have a blood clot, that can be form in the heart and then be shot upward through your carotid artery and lodge in the brain, and that's a stroke, and that can kill you or become, you know, a lifelong disability. So I, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people call and they say, well, you know, I'm taking Pradaxa or taking some kind of blood thinner, and I want to go off that. I want to take something natural. And unfortunately, there are natural blood thinners, but they're a little less reliable and may not do the job, and you don't want to take a chance with something as important as that. There's also the issue of rate control, and sometimes we use a lot of medications to slow the rate of the heart. Magnesium is really excellent at helping to slow the rate of the heart. And a lot of people need more magnesium than they can get from their diet or even from a multivitamin. So we have patients with atrial fibrillation taking magnesium taurate, often at fairly high doses. Now, you can't do that if you have severe renal failure, but you want to measure magnesium as you go up the ladder. And I have some patients who say, well, I take, you know, one or two and it doesn't help, or even three or four. But when I took six or eight, that's when my heart rhythm normalized. And so it is possible for you, in some cases, to completely reverse it with natural means. It depends on how severe the atrial fibrillation is. You might want to take a shot at ablation. That's popular these days. Although, you know, I got to say that it remains somewhat controversial whether ablation really ultimately extends people's lives. There can be sometimes complications with ablation, so be careful. Have it done at a place where they have a lot of experience and a good success rate. Ablation is done, you know, sort of, it's like a way of zapping the heart to zap it into normal rhythm. And it's a very, very sophisticated technique that is done by electrophysiologists who do a detailed study of your heart, and then they do a pinpoint zap to the electrical system to normalize your rhythm. Another thing that is a consideration is if you have atrial fibrillation, you may want to look at a gene that affects your nervous system. It's the COMT gene. It causes a high level of catecholamines to be flowing around in your system if you have a certain variation on it. And things that have a calmative effect, well, ashwagandha, rhodiola can have a calmative effect. These are some of the things that can make a difference. Theanine can have a calmative effect along with the magnesium to keep you with a reasonable rhythm, or sometimes even, you know, some patients actually convert to normal rhythm once they take adequate levels of magnesium. So those are some of the things that are available on the natural front for atrial fibrillation. But that's one of those things that requires integrative management, you know, right medications, the minimum that you need, don't over-medicate, and then also consider, you know, some of these supplements as well. All right, this item has to do with berberine. Berberine is it's an orangish, yellowish substance, which can be found in golden seal. But golden seal is a little bit of an endangered species, so now they get a lot of it from Oregon grape root and barberry. And there's also a Chinese herb called coptis that is a source of berberine. And it's an amazing substance. Berberine is an anti-infective. It seems to promote a healthy microbiome, that has beneficial effects on metabolism. And that may be part of the reason why it seems to help blood sugar. It may help to optimize the microbiome, because metabolism to some extent is determined by your gut bacteria. And it also has a cholesterol lowering effect. In animals, oral supplementation with berberine, it was found to reduce total cholesterol and non-HDL cholesterol by 29% to 33%. So it also helps to reduce the absorption of dietary cholesterol by 40% to 50%. So there's cardiovascular benefits in two ways. You optimize your blood sugar, and we know that blood sugar has an impact on cardiovascular risk. It also seems to have cholesterol-lowering effects, but also has anti-inflammatory effects. And so through a variety of means, it seems to provide cardiovascular benefit. We use berberine in a lot of our diabetes formulas, but it's also not a bad thing for people to take who have cardiovascular risk, because most of them have metabolic syndrome. They have insulin resistance, and berberine can help you with that. It's a very, very important herb for blood sugar control. So this item, you know, cavemen didn't have cavities. A recent study shows that when you look at, this is actually a study done in the past, when they looked at Eskimos, the Inuit, of 616 teeth that were studied, only one was deformed. So they believe that the paleo diet, the Stone Age diet, is responsible. After a short period of a paleo diet, researchers reported the average gum bleeding on probing decreased dramatically in subjects who were given a paleo diet. So excess grains, excess sugar, those seem to be the culprit. And go paleo if you have periodontal disease. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.